All right. Welcome back to Journalistic Integrity. Going to do a little NBA Finals preview for today's episode. Before we get to that, Eastern Conference Finals, Game 7. A lot of talk about Jimmy Butler pulling up for the three with about 20 seconds left, down 2 points at home. And a lot of people, I'd say it's about split half and half. Some are saying, hey, he should have taken Horford, gotten to the rim, either gotten fouled or finished, tie the game up. Other half, happy with the shot. Here's my take. First off, we can't just look at the result and base our decision off of that, right? So if Jimmy Butler hits the three and the Heat win, do you think the same people are going to say, hey, I didn't love Jimmy Butler's shot right there? Everybody would be saying that's such a great, heroic shot, smart shot, don't want to go into overtime, already gassed, all that stuff. And the same thing happens in the NFL. And we saw it last year with the Ravens a couple times, the Chargers a couple times, where they go for two. And even I'm not a huge go for two guy, but I can even see in these instances where they don't get the two-point conversion and everyone just says, oh, you should have never gone for two. Such a stupid decision. And you can't judge a philosophy based on one outcome. These percentages, the analytics are like 55 yes, 45 no. So you're going to have 45% of the time, if the numbers are right, you don't convert. But through the long stretch, like if you've got, you know, a set of 10 years of the Ravens and Chargers going for two, they should have a greater number of expected points or actual points scored in a game. And so back to Jimmy Butler, you're dribbling the ball up the court. You've got all the momentum. And it was like this game felt like it was over with 3 minutes left. And the Celtics didn't do anything terrible. Marcus Smart misses some shots. Kyle Lowry got to the rim a couple times, made a couple jumpers, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, Miami has the ball, all of the momentum, down to Jimmy Butler gets a wide open three, and it just doesn't fall. And so we separate the two outcomes. Let's say Jimmy Butler makes the three. They're up one. All they need to do is get a stop, and they win. Okay, maybe they have to stop, rebound, get some free throws, and then prevent a three. But for the most part, they get a stop, they win. Maybe that's 50-50. We'll call it 50-50. Other scenario, Jimmy drives, and we assume that he makes the layup, even though he's going to have a long Horford on. We assume he gets past him, makes the layup, tie game. Here's what they have to do. The Heat have to stop the Celtics, so that's 50-50, and then they have to win in overtime, which I would say is less than 50-50, probably 70-30 at that point. So all the numbers, scenarios, they needed to end the game right there. They had all the momentum. Jimmy Butler just missed it. It just shows how close and narrow these games are, which, by the way, these games, you know, I know there's been a lot of blowouts and stuff, but compared to a few years ago where I was kind of distancing myself from the NBA because I felt like guys were just best friends and no one really cared that much if they won or lost, and I think that's the biggest threat to a sport is apathy from the players, where they don't care nearly as much as fans do. And I thought we were headed that direction. But these playoffs, the intensity, how much the players care, it's all been ratcheted up. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because we've got the fans back and everyone's a little more juiced up, but it's been awesome despite a lot of the blowouts that have not been awesome. But anyway, Jimmy Butler, he has to take it. He won them game six, carried them in game seven. That was the shot. Just doesn't go in. So that leads us to the NBA Finals. The best case scenario for the NBA, the Boston Celtics, big market, big draw against the Golden State Warriors, the big, bad dynasty that has a second life, it appears. It looks like they're going for kind of the Patriots path, where the Patriots win those three Super Bowls, then they have like an 8-9 year hiatus, then they get back in with the Falcons Super Bowl. We had the Warriors 3 years, couple-year gap in the middle, guys getting injured, Durant leaves, and now they're back. And they're deeper than ever. They're young and experienced and just a very good basketball team. And so I'm going to go over a couple points, a couple things I'm looking for in the NBA Finals, a couple things that I think will happen. And I'm going to start with the Celtics defensively. You know, we saw them in round one be really physical with Kevin Durant and Giannis a little bit, and then they were kind of took a step back from their real physicality, especially against Butler. They kind of let him get a little too much space, not throwing any double teams at him. you know, I guess their philosophy was, we'll let Butler get his, but we're not going to let these shooters get going, which worked for the most part. And so in this series, especially with 4 days of rest coming into it, and I think really we'll really see this in game one, they're going to be really physical with Steph, whether that's screening him while the Celtics are on offense or going right at him on offense, running him through screens, making sure he's the primary defender on the ball handler. Think of what the Mavericks did to CP3 in game seven. I think they're really going to try and wear out Steph Curry. And we've seen Steph hold up really well. You can see his body. He's really put on a lot of muscle, looks good. And so, you know, it's almost like he's been preparing himself for teams to come at him in this way. And so I think just running him through screens, all that really come at him. And then on the defensive end, really, you know, get hand-checky and physical with him, kind of like what the Heat did with them, kind of like what the Celtics did with Kevin Durant, is be really physical and make the refs draw the line and make the call, right? So if you're physical, if you're not physical at all, and then you kind of get physical in the third or fourth quarter, it stands out, and the refs normally call that. But if you're, you know, a little across the line physical throughout a game, it doesn't stand out as much, and you make the refs kind of have to make the call in the first quarter if they're going to be like, hey, we're going to start calling these fouls, and then you back off. But I think they're going to try to really rough up Steph Curry and see if that affects him on the offensive end. Second thing, Rob Williams, great player, great at defending the rim. Like, he's got a lot of Tyson Chandler 2011 Mavericks vibes, where he is going to swat everything. I mean, he'll be like 5 feet away from a player, come off and somehow get a piece of it. And he was an X factor against the Heat, and you could tell when he was out, Butler was attacking the rim a lot more aggressively. And with the Warriors and Steph Curry, an underrated part of Curry, because we all talk about how great of a shooter he is, he's gotten really good at not only driving and get past his defender, but finishing at the rim. And he'll do these like scoop layups that'll go like to the top of the backboard and then kiss the glass perfect way and drop right through the hoop. Really skilled at that. And that changes with Rob Williams on the court. And so I think his health is going to be really important in preventing those drives. Not only those drives, you know, a lot of these buckets that the Warriors will get will be these like tip-ins or passes deep to Wiggins. And Rob Williams, not just a great shot blocker, really good rebounder too. And so keeping Wiggins out of the paint and those easy buckets for the Warriors that just kill you will be really important. Next thing on a similar theme, injuries for the Celtics, Marcus Smart and his ankle. He was not the same after he rolled his ankle, and it looked really bad when it happened. I did not think he was going to be back, but he came back later that game, and he still played a ton of minutes in each of the remaining games, but his ankle basically touched the floor, the rest of his foot on the floor. But he's definitely not 100%, and we saw those in the last few games. And so whether he's guarding Steph or Clay, it'll be interesting to see if they're able to drive past Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year, as easily as they were against the Dallas Mavericks, that are a more long-rangey team. But what got them in trouble was Steph penetrating, finishing, and then the defense starts closing in, and you start kicking it out, and you're getting wide-open threes. And last thing, the experience. So we know the Warriors have been here, three titles with that core of Draymond, Steph, and Clay. And then we look at the other side with the Celtics, younger core, the Tatum and Brown. They finally break through. They've been to Eastern Conference Finals a few times. Now they're finally in the finals. And so it feels like with the Warriors, it's, we're here to win it. We expect to be here. We expect to win it. With the Celtics, it's like, man, we battled in seven games to beat Milwaukee, then another seven games to beat the Heat. We're really happy to be here. And I don't like this narrative like, hey, we're happy to be here versus the experienced team. But I think it is a little, you know, psychologically, you know, the Celtics, you saw the way they celebrated winning the Eastern Conference Finals. They finally broke through to the finals. And I think it is a different psychology coming into it, with the Warriors have just been resting for 7-8 days, just thinking about winning the finals, while the Celtics are kind of rejoicing in the fact that they finally broke through that wall and got to the finals. And we've seen this experience play out end of games. We see with one on one end, the Warriors late in games against the Grizzlies, late in games against the Mavericks. Didn't really need it against the Nuggets in the first round, but these late in games, the execution, the shot making, the intensity, it's all there. They rise to the occasion. They're better late in games. We go to the Celtics, playing teams that they're more talented than, but when it got late, you could feel the Celtics getting a little tight. You could feel the ball stagnate a little, especially when Tatum can't get the ball. It's usually just Marcus Smart dribbling, nothing there. Oh, I'm just going to jack a three. And that's not the consistent offense that will produce late in these clutch moments, late in games. So I think that really favors the Warriors, especially when we step up to the NBA Finals, because I think there's a big step up between the Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, where it's the biggest stage in the world. These are the biggest games these guys are ever going to play. The Warriors have been there, and I just trust them more late in games. So that comes to my finals prediction. And this has not been easy. I've been in the lab. I've been, you know, just kind of laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, just, you know, asking for a sign. Dear Lord, who's going to win this series? It's been keeping me up, you know, been putting a lot of hours into this finals prediction because I can really see it going either way. I mean, the Celtics are just such good, talented team, but the Warriors have been there. They've got great shooters. They can go on all these crazy runs, and then they've got Wiggins. You're like, okay, he can either shoot, you know, do a Harrison Barnes and shoot 22% in this series, or he can average 22 a game. But ultimately, I just looked up in the sky and I saw a sign and it said Golden State Warriors in six games. I think they closed it out in Boston. The Celtics have not been great at home in this series. I would watch out for game one if I'm the Warriors, because I just feel like it's going to take them a little bit, and we'll see if it'll be more than a half of basketball, but I think it'll take them a little bit to get adjusted to Boston's offense because of how physical and just how good of a defense there. They just have five plus defenders out there at once. And I think some of those easy shots they got against these other teams are not going to be there. And so I would watch out in game one. That could be a little shaky and throw a wrench into my prediction, but I'm going with the Golden State Warriors, six games, put it in ink. And that's it for today's episode. Thank you everybody for listening. I'll be back next week going over these finals games, hopefully with the guest, and we'll go from there. Thanks for listening. See ya.